Just as opposing winds cause an eagle to soar higher, so adversity strengthens godly people. Welcome to Issues in Education. This is Bob Boyd.
And I'm Jerry Boyd.
We can learn about God from what He has made. Look at the majestic eagle, a symbol of strength and freedom, soaring above the clouds, demonstrating the power to rise above the problems of life. Look at how eagles love to soar on the wings of the wind. Notice the eagle doesn't fly in flocks. Eagles represent independence and courage to stand or soar alone. Our guest is Gary Horton, a motivational high school assembly speaker and former Army Ranger.
Gary Horton is from Alabama. Gary, how do you know you're a redneck?
I use some of this humor in the public school because I am from Alabama and I love Alabama. I tell them that every third guy in Alabama is named Bubba. And one of the ways you know you're redneck is you ever cut your grass and find a car. Has your dad ever walked you to school because you're both in the same grade?
You have an analogy of the eagle. It's a fascinating story of the focus of an eagle.
The eagle in Scripture is a marvelous manifestation of the character of God. And the analogies are just absolutely amazing, such as the eagle has such phenomenal loyalty. The eagle never leaves its mate. The eagle never changes homes. They don't have to migrate. They adapt to life wherever they are. They have the courage to defend their family. And when you talk about the eagle's character and how they defend one another and how they're faithful and how they are willing to fly security like a good father should over his own family. When a female eagle spots a potential male eagle for life, first of all, he understands never to violate her space. He will literally stay outside of her area until she gives him the right. And then when he moves in, she tests him. The test is so unique because the mother eagle weighs a little bit more than the male because she has to bear the young. But she will pick up a small stick. She will fly close to 6,000 to 7,000 feet with that little twig in her mouth. And the male is following her because he knows that this is a test. And then they get up there and fly this figure eight, which is the strangest flight pattern that they've ever flown. But she's trying to find out, does he care enough to follow her through all of this strange activity? And in the middle of all this figure eight flight, she spits that little twig out, thousands of feet above the ground. He better be focused and pay attention, because if he doesn't catch it, the test is over and he's out of the picture. But if he catches it, she flies down and gets a bigger stick. She flies up around 4,000 to 5,000 feet and she drops that one, and he knows it must be more important because it's bigger, so he drops the little one and catches that one. Then she does it about 2,000 feet, and each time the stick gets bigger and bigger and he has to catch it before it hits the ground. And finally she picks up almost a limb, and he has to be a stunt pilot to catch this one, but it must never hit the ground. And one of the reasons is because when they get into flight school for their little eaglets down the road, and all of a sudden mother starts, it says in Deuteronomy 32, that she stirs up the nest. In other words, little eaglets are born and they're comfortable, and a mother has laid a wonderful, comfortable bed. But there comes a day when all of a sudden mother comes in and tears that nest up, pulls the bottom out, and the eaglets can no longer be comfortable, so they have to get up on the side of the nest so that they can feel the wind, and they begin to develop some kind of orientation. But then comes a day, and often an eagle will build a nest hundreds and thousands of feet on a cliff of a rock or a mountainside, because that's their security. They love to be close to the sky, the higher to the sky that they can get. And often mother will kick the little eaglet out of the nest, and he doesn't know how to fly, and they will fall and they will scream. And it looks like disaster, but mother knows something. Dad always catches him on his wings. He swoops beneath and he catches him. And how does she know she can trust him? Because she tested him. He's got character. He's responsible. And I see the analogy there between man and woman. No one should ever consider a mate until they find out, what is your character? What is your sense of loyalty? You're going to run out when it gets tough. You're going to abandon me when life gets real tough. Well, the eagle never abandons, and they never leave their mate as long as they're alive. The diet of the eagle, they only eat things that are alive and fresh. Now, a vulture will stick his head in any kind of carcass. A vulture will actually eat things so dead and toxic that he becomes the meal for other creatures. But the eagle picks his diet and only eats those things that give him energy and strength and is alive. And of course, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And that's why we have to every day devour the Word of God in our life, to give us energy spiritually and to give us focus. The eagle is the only creature that doesn't fear storms and lightning. And because of his hearing and his eyesight and his tremendous sensitivity, they know before any other creature that a violent storm is coming. They'll look into it. They'll face it. And when all the other creatures hide because of the lightning and the thunder and the threat, the eagle faces it boldly. And then those vicious winds that drive everybody else into their caves and into cover, those winds are the ones that the eagle uses to lift him above the clouds. And as Christians, life has its storms and its problems. And if we face them by faith, if we face them with confidence, those storms will not defeat you. Those storms will elevate you and promote you. God sends us problems not for the purpose of defeat, but for power. Eagles can fly above the storms of life. Every day, an eagle, before the sun comes up, an eagle prepares himself for the day. He will literally waterproof his feathers. They have a gland inside of their mouth, and they will prune the feathers that will handle their aerodynamics. And then they will put this oil, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit. They will put the oil over their feathers, which means they can dive straight down into a river or into a lake, and they can catch food, and they can fly immediately because they're almost waterproof. And the Holy Spirit is the one who insulates us and covers us, so that we can deal with any circumstance in life, so we can carry on and fulfill the plan. The eagle can see 8 times further and has 8 times the sight of a man.
Wow.
Eagles literally have 2 sets of lens. One of the ways that the eagle handles those little birds that love to harass it because of their jealousy of the majestic creature and the tremendous personality the eagle has, many other birds will attack because they have a faster flight pattern and they can harass. But I'll tell you how the eagle deals with that. They don't attack them. They fly toward the sun. And the blinding sun causes other birds to have to fly away because they cannot take it. But see, the eagle has a pair of lenses that he can drop down. He's the only bird that can stare into the sun without doing any damage to the retina. An eagle also has within its eyelids pleats called pectens. In there is a magnetic pull. Well, the reason the eagle never gets lost is that once those pectens are set, once their compass is set, they may fly hundreds and hundreds of miles away from home, but they can tell by the feeling and the pressure of the eyelids how they can find their way all the way back to their very nest.
Amazing.
And that's what God, I think, is trying to put in the hearts of our kids. He tries to put a compass of his word through the Holy Spirit, which gives us a feeling and an understanding that, hey, there's sometimes I shouldn't be where I am. I'm in the wrong geographical area for my life. God wants to lead us, and he wants to give us the ability for us to stay focused and to know we're right at the center in the geographical will that he has for us. The enemy of the eagle, strangely enough, outside of man's destruction of our environment and those very cruel and sick people who would dare harm or shoot an eagle, but the main enemy of the eagle is the snake. And the main enemy of the Christian is the serpent, Satan.
Now that's interesting.
But the snake never attacks the mother and father. The snake knows where the nest is and slowly and deliberately works his way up near where the nest is. And when mom and dad is not there, when they're away trying to find food, that's when the snake will attack the children. That's why a nation is judged by how the children are being attacked and exploited. But you see, when the father finds the snake, he deals with it the way we do. By the way, an eagle can reach speeds to exceed 120 miles an hour in a dive. And what the father usually does is he reaches down, grabs the snake, flies high enough, and then dives at phenomenal speeds, and then he throws the snake literally on the rocks and crushes it. And Jesus Christ is the rock, and Jesus Christ has given us the power over Satan. Of course, the mother, she's no nonsense. She'll just reach down in her talons and her strong beak and bite its head off and toss it over the side. But it is so amazing to watch how God uses the eagle to teach us these amazing things. And I love the thought of how the eagle dies. The eagle knows when it's about to die. It will lay that day at high noon. It will lay out facing the sun. It will literally follow the sun with its eyes until the sun sets. And when that sun sets, they close their eyes and they die. And the Bible tells us we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. You see, the believer never dies. We have our eyes unto the Lord. And when we finally close those eyes in this body, we open those eyes one more time, and
Hallelujah.
We're with him forever.
Hallelujah.
And that's the hope we have. How in the world can kids today who are suicidal and so miserable, how in the world can we expect them to have hope until their eyes are focused on the one who says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You see, we don't die. We just take a nap and wake up in the everlasting arms of the greatest eagle in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Gary. Gary Horton is with the American Freedom Assembly, and as Gary said, the stronger the wind, the higher an eagle soars. They can literally soar above the storms of life. So just as opposing winds cause an eagle to soar higher and higher, so adversity can produce in us greater strength of character, more patience and perseverance, and hope. So when adversity comes your way, don't let it push you down, let it push you up. The stronger the wind, the more you can benefit as you draw closer to God.
Our guest today is Mary Welchel, author of Soaring on High, Spiritual Insights from the Life of an Eagle. I liked what you said, soaring above the clouds, freedom from cares and struggles, power to rise above the difficulties of life, strength to keep going no matter what. Do you think that that might be the main purpose God created eagles as he did, to give us this awesome picture of soaring?
You know, I really do, Jerry. The more I studied eagles and the more I talked about them all over the world, really, and recognized how fascinated everybody is with eagles. You talk about eagles and people just listen. I began to realize these are very unique creatures that God had in mind when he created them, that this would be a very vivid and important teaching lesson for us. The Second Continental Congress adopted the eagle as our national emblem. The interesting little tidbit here is that Benjamin Franklin wanted the turkey to be our emblem.
Well, as a contrast to the turkey, who just says, let's go with the flow, don't make waves. You know, turkeys like safety and like to hide behind little fences. Eagles take a courageous stand. Maybe that's why we eat turkeys and protect eagles.
could be.
You know, it's so funny, too. Right now, Bob and I have a lot of little hummingbirds, and it's such a contrast. These little teeny, teeny birds, they're the smallest birds there are, and then this huge eagle. Is the eagle the biggest bird?
One of the biggest. There are some condors and others that rival it in size, and of course, there are different kinds of eagles. The two that we have in North America are the bald eagle and the golden eagle, very similar in size.
Tell us how big the spread of their wings.
Yeah, it can be like 7 feet wingspan, and then their wings are aerodynamically created. They have a lot of feathers, like over 1,200 feathers on a wing, but then each feather will have a kind of a finger-like formation at the end, and this is what gives them their unique ability to soar, and to soar so high. These gigantic wings catch the current of the wind, and they simply ride on the wind. You don't see eagles flapping very often. If an eagle does start to do much flapping with those huge wings, he will exhaust himself quickly, and he could actually just die from exhaustion trying to fly by flapping. That's a lesson for us, too. The Bible talks about the Spirit of God as the wind of God, and we need to learn as believers to soar on his wind and let his power carry us, not try to do it in our own strength, because if we try to do the flapping, it's pretty exhausting, and we discover pretty fast that we weren't built for flapping. We've got to soar on the power of God's Spirit. They can fly very fast and very high. This gives them a great advantage because they can surprise their next meal with their speed and catch it in their huge talons. Their talons are like the size of a man's hand, and they're very strong.
In fact, those talons are so strong that they can break a man's forearm.
Yeah, they are famous for their strength and their courage to go for anything. One of the things, though, that's interesting about eagles is if they go for something that is too heavy, and they swoop down with that speed and their huge talons and grab that animal, if that animal is heavier than they are, and they try to fly up and soar with that animal, they are not going to be able to do so. And so they have to learn when to let go and say, wait a minute, this one's too heavy for me. And if they don't let go, and they're prone not to let go, it'll actually drag them down, can actually kill them or do them harm. And you know, Jesus said to come to him and exchange our heavy burdens for his light one. And if we don't learn to do that, the heavy burdens that we carry will drag us down and they'll defeat us. But if we can learn on a daily basis to truly turn over the burdens of our heart, of our lives, to the one who's able to carry them, then we can soar.
We know that eagles will go through a period of molting, a midlife crisis. Could you describe that?
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. Eagles live to be quite old, 50, 60, sometimes even older. About midlife, believe it or not, they will go through a molting process where their feathers start to fall out and their tear ducts dry up, and they're not able to soar like they did, and they really think life is coming to an end, and they will kind of isolate themselves from the other eagles and prepare to die. and they often go into a valley or some isolated place and just sit. The feathers are falling out, and they'll scratch in the ground for insects until their talons are dried up and brittle. They no longer look or act like you would expect an eagle to, but the interesting thing about the eagle community is how they come to the aid of this molting eagle. They go get the fresh food that he needs, and they circle overhead and keep dropping fresh food down to this discouraged, defeated eagle who's ready to give up, and they just keep bringing him food until, as he reaches out and begins to eat the good food that they bring him, his strength begins to be renewed, and he's able to soar again. Psalm 103 tells us about how the Lord satisfies our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And it's just so encouraging to me to know that when you think that you're ready to quit, when you want to give up, God can still renew you, and he can restore you, and he can make you to soar again. And one of our great advantages in the body of Christ should be the way we come to the aid of our fellow Christians who are in those difficult times. And instead of criticizing them or gossiping about them or leaving them alone, we should go to their aid and encourage them and say, come on, you can soar again. It's not the end. Come on, God can restore you. I just love that picture of the eagles coming to the aid of their fellow eagle in that time of discouragement. And I just want to always be the kind of person who encourages other Christians when they're going through the difficult times, even if they've failed, to say, God is in the business of restoration. This is his specialty, and he can restore you, and you can soar again. It's not the end.
The eagle takes the winds, and instead of the wind holding the eagle back, the wind actually helps the eagle get higher and higher. The stronger the winds, the higher the eagle flies, so that God wants us to rise above our circumstances too, and fix our minds on things not just on the earth, but on the heavenly realms.
Right. I think we've all probably had the experience of being in an airplane and taking off on a dark day, but then you break through those clouds, and above, there's this incredible sunshine that you can't see from beneath. Well, the eagle is able to take the wind of the storm and use the very thing that could do him great damage, use it to soar above the troubles and break into the sunshine. And storms come in our lives. All of us have them in some form or another. And how we decide to respond to those storms is really the issue. Are we going to let them ruin us and destroy us and bring us down? Or are we going to take the very thing that is meant to do us harm and turn it into an advantage? Chuck Swindoll has written, life is 10% what happens to us, 90% how we respond to it. I really think that's a pretty good description of it. Do you choose to let it drag you down, or do you choose to say, no, you're not going to drag me down. I'm going to soar by God's grace. I'm going to soar above this storm.
When we ask how a good God can allow evil things to happen to his children, I think we need to remember the story of how the mama bird kicks the baby bird out of the nest. Do you want to tell us about that?
I don't know if you've ever seen the picture or seen a newborn eagle, a little eaglet, but they're really ugly. It's hard to believe they're going to be such a beautiful creature someday, but they are born squawking and they just want to eat night and day. And so mom and papa spend the first 3 months providing room service for the little eaglet. They start to grow and their wings start to grow. But when they're about 80% full grown, at about three to four months, then it's time for them to get out of the nest, which mama has made very comfortable and soft with down from her own chest and a lot of soft things. And then she does the weirdest thing. She goes into the nest and throws out all the soft things. And the nest becomes extremely uncomfortable. And she does this because once the soft things are thrown out of the nest, it's not comfortable to sit anymore. So he's up on his talons, and of course that begins to strengthen those muscles, which he's going to need when he flies. But I can imagine that this little eaglet has no understanding whatsoever of his mother's behavior and why she would do this to him and why life is now so uncomfortable. I think of our walk with God. God is more interested in our maturity than he is in our comfort. And he's willing to be misunderstood by us. This is an incredible thing about God, I think. He will endure our misunderstanding him in order for us to grow, in order for us to learn to trust him, in order for us to get out of that nest and to soar as he's created us to do.
But it's interesting, that little baby eagle wouldn't get out of the nest if mama didn't throw him out.
And then she has to push the little baby eagle up onto the edge of the nest while papa is soaring overhead watching. And then she pushes him out because he won't do it voluntarily. Life is good in that nest and he doesn't even know he can soar. Rarely does that little bird soar the first time he's pushed out of the nest. He's tumbling toward the ground. It's a very high nest. He's headed for the rocks below. He doesn't know how to use his wings. And he's, I'm sure, at that moment, certain he's headed for disaster. But Papa Eagle is watching everything that happens, and he can fly very fast. And he will swoop down and spread his wings and catch the little one before he hits the ground. He won't allow him to hit the ground, then take him back up to the nest where he'll go through it again as many times as necessary to teach him to soar. And in one of those falls, those wings get spread in the right way, and he catches the wind current and recognizes that he can soar. He was born to soar.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's just such a beautiful picture, and it's so wonderful to see how God is with us. The scriptures tell us in Psalms that God never takes his eye off of us, and his ear is always attentive to our cry. And when you feel like you've been pushed out of the nest, and you really don't understand what God's doing, and it doesn't make sense, and it's certainly not the way you would do it, you can trust your Heavenly Father, who's never going to take his eye off of you, and he can fly faster than you can fall. Our Heavenly Father does that so that we will learn to soar. In the end, we will look back and say, I get it now. You had a purpose in all of that. But at the moment, we just have to trust.
Just think, if Papa Eagle got sidetracked or distracted at the right moment when the baby is pushed out of the nest, Baby Eagle would become an omelet on the rocks.
Which brings us to an excellent point, a Christian's eyesight, spiritual eyesight. We see through, like you said, forever eyes.
The eagle eyesight is 10 times greater than a human eye. And then they have two sets of eyelids. One acts like sunglasses and allows them to fly into the sun without being blinded. They can see that next meal a long way off, whether it's a fish in the water or a rabbit. They can see it a mile or 2 miles away, and they can focus in on it. And then they fly so fast that they can surprise that animal very quickly and grab it before it knows what's happened to it. So that eyesight gives it great advantage in supplying its own needs. Plus, when they are being chased by a predator of some sort, if they just fly right into the sun, it blinds the predator, and they are able to escape.
An eagle can see a 3-inch fish jumping in a lake 5 miles away. So people who are like an eagle have vision. They see things that other people miss. The crowd sees things as they are. Eagle-like people see things as they could be.
We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has ordained in advance for us to do. All of us can say, Lord, I am yours. You created me. I belong to you. I want to do the good things you have planned for me to do. I want to soar into the skies that you have planned for me, and that's where an abundant life comes and fulfillment comes. They are byproducts of soaring like an eagle and doing what God's called us to do.
God never gets tired and he never sleeps. He's available for you 24/7. Isaiah 40:28. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. Just as a mother eagle wants her young eagle to learn to soar, she makes the nest uncomfortable to get him to venture out to fly. She knows Papa Eagle is out there watching and ready to catch the little eaglet on his mighty wings when he falls. So God is watching over you, ready to rescue you if and when you fall. So let your confidence be in the Lord and soar on high like the eagle. Picture this, a thunderbolt of lightning flashes brilliantly across the black sky, huge, dark, foreboding clouds charge forward as another streak of lightning flashes and strikes the earth, causing the ground to shake and tremble. While birds huddle together in terror, there up in the sky is the magnificent eagle soaring alone right into the face of the storm. When thunder crashes, the eagle simply flaps his wings and soars even higher on the updraft. He seemed to enjoy the thrill of riding the turbulent winds, sailing above the storm with grace and control. He was absolutely fearless in the face of destruction. The eagle confronts the violent storm, remaining at peace as he stares the storm in the face, as if to dare it to try to harm him. Even in the most fierce storms, eagles will fly directly into the storm as if to defy the strength of the storm itself.
God uses the eagle as a symbol for the strength, power, and control that He gives us who trust in Him. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but He's given us His supernatural spirit of power, love, and a sound mind to weather the worst storms in life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Eagles, in fact, love the storms. When clouds gather and lightning flashes, eagles get excited. They look forward to using the strong winds in the storm to push them up high above the storm clouds, to glide at breathtaking altitudes. Just like eagles, we can choose to embrace adversity, knowing that it will develop our godly character.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1911, Soar on Wings Like Eagles. That's number 1911, Soar on Wings Like Eagles. You can order a CD copy of this program or download a podcast from our website at issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Or for a CD, call us at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Isaiah 40, verse 31, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint." For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.